Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
If you are a regular listener to the Beacon Broadcast, then you know that we are in Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 and following. And we've come to the last charge which God, through the prophet Malachi, leveled against his people Israel. And it is a charge that their words are highly offensive toward God. Malachi 3:13, "Your words have been harsh against me," says the Lord. And what we discover here is that critical words toward God, critical words about God and about the Bible, critical words indicate an unsubmissive heart. That's what it is. I hope you realize that. I don't know what it is about people that think that somehow that they can avoid that conclusion, that they can maintain the aura of sophistication, of education. I can criticize the Bible. I can criticize what the Bible reveals about God, the things that I don't agree with, the things that I don't like, and yet still consider myself a Christian. And don't you ever accuse me of being an unbeliever, or having an unsubmissive heart toward God. Well, friend, as they say, wake up and smell the coffee. Your critical words reveal an unsubmissive heart. If you don't know it, others do. They hear those words and they know what it means. If you don't know it, God certainly does, and He's the one that's going to judge you someday. So it's time that you figured it out. Your critical words about God, about the Bible, reveal an unsubmitted heart, and an unsubmitted heart, which is the same as an unbelieving heart, is going to take you where? Not to heaven. I can assure you that. So critical words indicate an unsubmissive heart, but we move on in verse 13 to learn that quarrelsome words betray an undiscerning heart. And that's where we're going on this Monday, February 17. We're glad you were able to join us, and very grateful for those whose financial gifts make this possible. Back to verse 13, "Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken against you?" Yes, critical words indicate an unsubmissive heart, and quarrelsome words betray an undiscerning heart. And we have seen so far throughout the book of Malachi a pattern of argumentation. Every indictment leveled against the people of God through the instrumentality of Malachi, the spokesman of God, every single indictment has been met with argumentation. We don't agree. We don't see that. We don't accept what you are saying about us, that we are disobedient, that we are dishonoring you, that we are failing to respond to you in a proper way. There's a pattern of argumentation recorded, I don't know how many times before we come here to chapter 13 or chapter 3, verse 13, and it seems to indicate an inability for these people to comprehend their own heart's condition and what is going on. But the pattern of argumentation demonstrates their unwillingness to acknowledge God's pronouncements. It's the same problem, that not accepting the Word of God indicates an unsubmissive heart, But your arguing with God, your quarrelsome words, betray an undiscerning heart. You don't even understand what's going on in your own life. This pattern of argumentation demonstrates that. Again and again and again, God says, here's the problem. Recognize it. Repent of it. Turn back to me. If you will turn back to me, I will receive you. I will bless you. And their response in every case has been, what are you talking about? We don't see anything that's wrong. This inability to comprehend. And what we see beyond a pattern of argumentation is a practice of social reinforcement. Now, this is very important, so don't miss it. Again, verse 13, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? And literally, you wouldn't see this in the English translation, but literally what this says is, what have we spoken among ourselves against you? Or, to put it in more common English, what have we said about God to one another? That's what's going on here. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Now, what words is he talking about? And maybe more to the point of this part, where were these words spoken and who are they spoken to? Well, it's not like these people have been lifting their head heavenward and speaking out these words against God. And in most cases, it's not that they are commonly speaking these critical words to Malachi, God's spokesman, although that's true, but that's the least of it. What's really been going on here is what they have been talking about to one another regularly. And the answer here betrays that. It demonstrates that. Yet you say, what have we spoken among ourselves against you? Because they seem to recognize that that is what the prophet is saying to them. Your words have been harsh against me, words that you have spoken to one another. And what does this indicate? Well, it indicates the strong human desire for peer approval. The strong tendency among people, all people, you and me and all people, to want to have the approval of our friends and neighbors, and therefore, many times, to conform to what others believe and practice, rather than taking the Bible as our guide, we take what others say as our guide. Rather than taking the Bible as our instructions for what to do, we take what other people do as our indicator for what we will do. And we influence others even as others influence us. So we have this strong tendency to influence others to our opinions for social reinforcement, and to align ourselves with popular opinions and practices, and to take comfort in the agreement of others, even if it is untrue. The question for any belief or practice is not, is it acceptable to your friends, but is it true, as measured by the Word of God? That's the only infallible standard of truth. The opinions of your friends is not the standard of truth. You know full well that your friends are not always right. What they say is not always correct. It's not always true. Nor what you say and do is not always correct nor always true. But there is this strong human desire for peer approval and this strong desire to conform to what others believe and practice. And I am convinced after many years of observing Christian conduct, that the majority of people who call themselves Christians are more concerned about what their friends and fellow churchgoers think of them than what God thinks of them. And they are far more quick to conform their practices to what their friends say and do than they are to what God says. That's the problem. Their quarrelsome words betray an undiscerning heart. They don't discern that what they are doing is wrong because they have convinced themselves that because others are doing it too, it's all right. Surely, if you have been around any length of time, as I have, if you are anywhere near the senior citizen category, you have seen some things change pretty significantly in Christian conduct over the last two or three decades, and practices that would not ever have been considered acceptable among Christians three or four decades ago are now commonly accepted among many Christians today. And there are many examples of that, but one that I think is most obvious is just this whole matter of living together apart from marriage, which used to be understood to be a violation of God's word and therefore unacceptable in the arena of Christian conduct. But nowadays, it's considered not to be such a big deal. I think even most people, even today, would say, well, yes, I agree that the Bible tells us not to do that, but it's not a big offense, it's not a big problem. Why, look how many people are doing it. Look how many Christians are doing it. Look how many church members are doing it. It can't be that wrong. It can't be that bad. And what we are seeing is a major reason for the large degree of spiritual blindness that we have across the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Popular opinion says it's caused by lack of knowledge or opportunity. The Bible says it's caused by sinful rejection of divine revelation. You understand what I'm saying? Disagreeing with God reveals not only an unsubmissive heart, as we see in the first part of verse 13, but disagreeing with God reveals an undiscerning heart. An undiscerning heart reveals a rejection of divine revelation. It goes back to almost to the same thing, ultimately. But I think it's worth noting the two different areas because that's what we find in verse 13. People were speaking to one another words that were offensive and critical about God and about His Word. And yet they didn't recognize them as being offensive and critical and problematic because they were the same kind of words that everybody was speaking. This was common conversation among them, their disagreement with God's Word, their disagreement with God's ways, their disagreement with God's actions. They disagreed together. They agreed together to disagree, and because they all disagreed, then they decided that it was not a problem. It was all right. Their rebellion was reinforced by other rebels, but because they all did it together, they didn't discern that this was a manifestation of rebellion. And they, therefore, reinforced their own self-deceit through the deceit of others that buoyed them up in their deceit, and therefore their quarrelsome words betrayed an undiscerning heart. Very insightful. We'll take it up again tomorrow. Lord willing, join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.